This is iRadio's
group chat.
If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.
So I'm delighted to be joined by Kelly's Coaching, who is a breakup empowerment and self-discovery coach, joining me now this evening on the group chat. So Kelly, how are you getting on? Are you well?
Hi, yeah, I'm good. Thanks. I'm really excited to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Good, good, good. That's quite a mouthful you have as a job title.
Yeah, I usually go just a breakup empowerment coach because as you said, it is a mouthful. But the full title is that, but you can shorten it to breakup empowerment if that makes it easier.
Fair enough. That's understandable. So in that role, what is it you do? Tell us a little bit about yourself and the work that you do with that.
Okay, yeah, great. So obviously, my name is Kelly. So I primarily work with women who are coming out of really difficult breakups. A lot of the time, they are women who have, say, anxious attachment styles, and they just need a bit of support in navigating that breakup journey, let's say, and a bit of guidance and direction in their healing. So how I do that is through my one-to-one coaching. And then aside from that, I also have women's circles in Dublin. They're not just for the heartbroken gals, they're for everybody.
Okay.
And then I also host women's retreats as well abroad. But my main baby is my one-to-one coaching, and working alongside that now, my podcast, The Breakup Debrief. So it's just kind of like that space where you're having like real talk about these things, because everybody goes through breakups, but I feel like people don't necessarily give them the same weight as we give other big life changes in life.
Yeah,
like, it's a very big grieving process. It can turn your life, your whole life upside down. And I just think sometimes we feel like we're supposed to be healed and moved on after a couple of weeks. Like, we can't talk about it anymore, we can't cry about it, but that's not really the case for most people. It's a very tough time. So just to be able to give that safe space to people where they can still talk about these things, realize that, oh my god, this is actually normal, other people are going through this specific sequence of events or scenarios as well, it's not just me. And then of course, like, for the people who want to come on for the coaching, it's just giving them that guidance and support. I actually have a breakup impairment program, so it's a 12-week program that I bring clients through.
Okay.
And it's basically to help them get to a stage where they can embrace being on their own, embrace this new chapter of their life, process the breakup that happened, figure out what it is that they want for their future. Like, maybe there are different patterns that they need to break, or they're noticing that they're getting into the same relationships again and again. They're like, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. So it's just to provide that kind of guidance and support, that's where I come in.
Do you feel like this type of coaching is more important now than it was like 20 years ago?
I would actually say that, because, and simply with us being in the age, say, where we have things like social media and all these different podcasts and videos. Like, there are so many people now who they go on TikTok and they watch a 60-second video and they're like, oh, I have an anxious attachment style, but they don't actually know what that is. So there's a lot of like misinformation out there. And then we also have a whole new layer to breakups that generations before us didn't have, in that with social media, after you break up, you can still like see what your ex is up to and like follow their life along after. And like, we didn't have that problem before. You could just say goodbye and maybe you'd bump into them in the corner shop and that was it.
But now at mass really on a Sunday.
Yeah, mass on a Sunday, exactly. But now like, you're able to follow along their life. And then with having social media, you're also seeing other people who maybe are in quote unquote successful, happy relationships. And then you have that level of comparison as well. And like, why does it seem so easy for them and it's not for me? So yeah, definitely. And then I feel like there's nearly like too much information out there. And I'm saying that knowing that I make content
for the exact reason. Yeah.
Yeah. But at this, like, even with my input, there's just a lot of information out there, and it can be hard to cut out the noise or figure out like what's the right thing to be listening to, what's not. So I think, when it comes to breakups, we definitely have some extra layers these days
100%.
That like our parents and grandparents didn't have.
And like you say there, like, this day and age, I feel like, you know, when you like have something sick and you Google it and it tells you you're going to die in 3 days, it's kind of the same thing now, where like, you're like, oh, well, we broke up because this, we didn't work because of this. And like, there's so much noise around what is supposed to be the solution, I suppose. So to get back to the actual question that I had written down before I go off track at the very start of this, so I've experienced breakups. I was in a couple of long-term relationships in my life, and I'm sure people listening, obviously everyone has breakups, and that's just part of life. We get rejected, and that's healthy, I suppose, at some points. But for someone, let's say, who is after having the best summer of their life with their partner, and now they're looking in the barrel of winter being like, oh, they're actually after breaking up with me, what would you prescribe as the next steps for that person?
Firstly, like you said, you're immediately going in under a massive life shift. Like, and for a lot of people, especially if you're like living together, you're planning your future together, your whole life can change overnight when this breakup happens, and people don't necessarily know how to deal with that. So one of the most important things is to understand the difference between processing something and being distracted. And there is definitely place for both. But some people go straight into like full distraction mode and their social calendar is completely booked out. They're seeing all their friends and all their family, because if they sit at home and think, then they get upset and it hurts too much. So they go for distraction. Or then you might have the other person who's like the opposite, where they remove themselves from all of their other relationships and they just sit in the fields and in the sadness, just for the bit that's just not healthy, because I always think there's a time for processing and feeling, and there's also time for distraction. So it's about trying to find that balance. So yes, go spend time with your friends, but at the same time, do allow some time for you to figure out how you feel about the situation, validate yourself, accept that you feel the way that you feel, accept the breakup that happened, try to grieve the version of yourself that isn't there anymore, because now you're single and you're starting this whole new chapter. Grieve the relationship that you thought you had, grieve the future that you thought that you were going to have, because you're not just losing a person, you're losing this whole future that the two of you probably spoke about and had planned for, and now that's gone. So when that's gone, you're faced with the unknown, and that's very scary.
It's kind of like a grief, isn't it? Like you have a bit of a grief. Yeah. Really, like,
I 100% you have to grieve the breakup.
I see some of my mates, and they've broken up with the missuses, and like they go, like they're at everything, they open up an envelope, and then there's the boys who will sit and they'll probably go and self-medicate by going to the pub at the weekends, probably a bit more than they should. Mm-hmm. And you're kind of like, you can't tell them either way what's good for them, because obviously each person is individual. But like, I notice it more, Kelly, you know, when people are in most like unhealthy relationships, you call them a toxic relationship nearly. Yeah. I find that people who are in those relationships like suffer a breakup harder. Does that, and even though that doesn't really make sense, like to me it doesn't, but just from what I've seen.
Well, if you think about it, it actually makes perfect sense, because if we look at it, say from one of my clients' perspective, a lot of the clients I work with have an anxious attachment.
Okay.
When you have an anxious attachment style, if you're in a relationship that's unhealthy or toxic, or there's a lot of push and pull and that kind of thing, that further fuels the person's anxiety. It fuels how they view themselves, their sense of self-worth, their confidence, all of that stuff. Yeah. But the one thing that they have is, even despite all that up and down, all that push and pull, that person is still there in some degree. We still have the relationship. And if you have an anxious attachment style, when the other person, say, pulls away or causes some uprift in the relationship, the person with anxious attachment style then gives more of themselves. Okay. And they say, okay, well, I want him to not be annoyed at me, so I'm going to do this. And I want him to feel better and to feel happy, so I'm going to do this. And suddenly they're giving like 150% of themselves to their relationship, but getting nothing in return. So then, if and when that relationship ends, they don't have that thing to fight for anymore. So they're just only left with all the trauma and the absence. And they're not only trying to process what they've been through, but also process that loss. And they're not sitting there going, oh, thank God I got out of that situation. Yeah. That might be what they say to their friends, but not when they're at home. Because for a lot of people, if that person came back, depending on how long it's been and how much healing that they've done, they might go back to that person. And that's why people end up back in these relationships.
Same cycles again.
Because they're... Yeah, that's it. Because for some people, it's better than the unknown. That's often kind of like what it comes back to. It's like, well, I'd rather not be alone, or I'd rather know what my future looks like than try to process this myself. So that's why you see a lot of people, if they come out of very unhealthy, difficult relationships, for the first little while at least, they nearly seem like they're worse off, because in their mind they are.
Okay, that's mad. Okay. Fair enough.
hope that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. I'm going to ask you a question now that you probably hate getting asked in your role, right? Because, you know, the way there's that myth, and there's every smart arse listening to the radio tonight being like, gosh, the best way to get over someone is get under someone else. Like, I feel like that's probably counterproductive, right? Is there any truth to that, or is it just absolute BS?
No, it's absolute BS. And it's actually something that I make content on quite a bit, okay. And saying exactly what you said, I call it a myth. So the thing is, when you come out of a breakup, right, you have something that I call the void. So that is a space that's in your life that that person once took up. And when that person is gone, that space is empty. Now, an easy way to try to fill that void is to get straight onto Tinder and have someone swipe right on you, or have someone send you like a flirty message, or someone want to meet up with you, or like you said, maybe going out and having some one night stands or whatever. Yeah. And that helps to fill that void. But the problem is that's temporary, because you might get that short term high, that little bit of validation, that bit of a confidence boost that makes you feel better. Mm. But then because you're not actually processing the breakup properly, you're not focusing yourself, you're not, say, trying to heal the wounds that you had, try to break the relationship patterns that you have, because a lot of the time there is work that we have to do on ourselves as well. And it's not to say that anybody is the worst partner or is wrong or whatever, but we all have wounds, we all have trauma that we have to work on. But if you don't do that, if you prolong your, I actually feel like by you jumping back into
makes it worse,
new flings or new relationships, it makes it worse. You're actually just prolonging your healing. Yeah, you're prolonging the inevitable. And so yeah, for me, I'm like, no, you need to spend a certain amount of time alone. And like that, like you were saying, we've all had breakups. One of the things that helped me the most in my breakups was spending that bit of time on my own and only focused on myself. I call it man sober.
Man sober. Just, yeah. That's excellent.
Just giving myself that time. I know you'll see that trend in there later on.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, just giving myself that time to focus on myself, figure it out. Okay, what is it that happened in that relationship that I have to process? What do I need to work on? How am I not going to get into this situation again in future? And then when you have done that, if and when somebody comes along that you'd like to pursue someone with, go for it. Like, there's no exact timeline here. Like, it's not that you need to stay single for 6 months, 12 months, 18 months. It's just you need to spend some time alone, allow yourself to process. And I, another thing that I always say is a lot of people think our time heals all. I disagree with that. Yeah. I think it's how you spend your time, because you can be actively healing, which would be like what my clients are doing by taking part in my framework, or you can be passively healing where you're kind of just like going through the motions. You're not really sure what to do. You need a bit of guidance, and maybe you're getting into these things and maybe you're not. And you're thinking, oh, one day I'm going to feel better.
No.
But it's not really the case. And like that healing journey can take a lot longer than if you were to say actively heal.
So that answers my next question, because I was going to ask like how long it takes to get over a relationship, because I've heard the myths and you're going to be like, you're like a myth muster. Because I heard someone say before, like it's a month for every year. And I was like, that doesn't make sense to me. But you've answered that question, so I'm not going to even ask you that one. So a question now that's probably a bit more blunt and direct, and I'd say people are in these situations because you know the way people like hang on. You know there's hangers on at the end of a night out. There's people who hang on relationships. Like, when do you know that it's time to break up with someone? I know that's probably counter what we're talking about, but just a thought.
No, it's a very important question. And the thing is, a lot of relationships are going to have ups and downs. Now, when I say ups and downs, I don't mean that you're having killings 5 nights a week and he's like your partner's cheating on you or whatever it is. Like, the main ups and downs that a relationship should have are when you're going through difficult life circumstances, say like deaths of a loved one or financial struggles or that type of thing. They're normal ups and downs for relationships to have. If you're having like a lot more downs than you have ups, you need to figure out what that is. If you feel like you're not being listened to, if you're bringing forward points like this is happening and it's making me really uncomfortable, it's upsetting me, and you feel like they're not listening, or sometimes even worse, they seem like they're listening, they change for like maybe a week or two and then go back to their old ways. I think what it always comes down to for me is if you feel like you're working on the relationship by yourself, like you're doing everything to make it work and the other person isn't, and are like not to the same level. Like a big part of having a relationship is a partnership and being a team. And if you're not a team, if you're not a partnership,
but a team wins and loses together, though. That's the thing that you have to get across. Exactly. I suppose.
Yeah.
Because like,
100%. So if you feel like that's you,
Sorry, you know, because you see a lot of people who are like, if you're you can only talk about your friends, but like if the other person is dragging their heels, you're like, lad, why are you bothering your arse? Like, you know, the kind of way, like you're clearly doing all the work and they're doing nothing. Mm-hmm. And they're just end up in a place of frustration, and then you feel like the bad friend being like, well, look, this is not healthy for you anymore. I know you've given it 4 years, but like this is not healthy for you anymore. You need to do something.
Yeah, exactly. And like, there comes a point where your happiness needs to be your main priority. You have free will, you Fair. Have the choice, and you can always choose better for yourself. By all means, it doesn't mean at the first hurdle, duck and run.
Yeah, no.
But like, try work it out, try figure it out, be the team that you want to be. And if it's not working, it's not working.
So a question I have for you now, right, is you mentioned attachment mm-hmm. styles quite a bit. And I've actually listened to a podcast on this by Jay Shetty. And I feel like a lot of people don't know what their attachment styles are. And is it important to know that when you're in a relationship? Because then obviously it can be like how it starts and how it obviously ends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's very important. And it's something that like I would openly talk about with my partner.
Yeah.
A lot of the issues that people face in relationships come down to your attachment style. So like about how you manage conflict, how you communicate your needs, how you react to certain things, that can all come down. And also like the things that might trigger you or the wounds that you have, that all comes down to your attachment style. So if you have an understanding of your own attachment style, you can then manage it a bit better when it comes to these things with your partner.
Yeah.
But also, if you know what your partner's attachment style is, you also have a different level of understanding of them when different things come up. And then it's about like trying to work on it together. And like you said, there are so many podcasts out there, like there are so many quizzes, things like that. I wouldn't say if you watched a TikTok for 60 seconds yeah. to go and diagnose yourself.
Yeah, of course.
It's something that like you really need to kind of like reflect upon, see what resonates with you. Does like when you read the typical behaviors or typical thought processes, think to yourself, is this me? Does this align with me? Is this how I behave in relationships? That kind of thing to help give you that understanding. And the thing is, like, because the three, we won't go in like too deep down the rabbit hole okay. of attachment styles, will be here all day, but like the three main ones are like avoidant, anxious and secure. Obviously the goal is to become secure
yeah.
And yeah, you can only do that then by understanding your own attachment styles and figuring out where you need to heal and what work that you need to do. And if you're doing that, it's all going to be all the better for your relationship then as well.
Yeah, but then you understand how you're reacting to things, the other person's reacting to things, then it takes mm-hmm. out, it takes petrol away from the fire before the fire goes mad, I suppose. Is that a way
yeah,
of saying
exactly,
it?
Exactly, because you have to understand them. Yeah.
So, Kelly, before I leave you off after this great chat, I've absolutely loved it. If I could ask you for one thing that would help someone reclaim maybe some of their confidence post breakup, mm-hmm. what would you say?
I would say get yourself some single friends. And this is probably like, but not your tip.
That's the most girly answer ever.
Yeah.
Out with the ladies.
I know, but. With the ladies, yeah. But see, the thing is, the biggest tip is probably usually like no contact, and that was one of the things that I'd written down yeah. for our chat today. But I think if it's kind of one thing to think of, I would see, and especially if you're maybe like in your mid later 20s or in your 30s or beyond, it can be very easy to compare yourself to other people. And like for me, when I was going through breakups, I was the only single one in all my friend groups, and everyone else was married and engaged and kids yeah. and all the rest. And that can bring in like comparison, a lot of self-doubt about where you are. If you have other single friends, it's not to go out partying on the weekend or finding someone new to yeah. get under. But even like, say, if you take my women's circles, for example,
yeah.
someone who are in like the same stage of life at you, who make you feel validated, who are there to listen to you and hear, like somebody who's been in a 20-year relationship isn't going to have the same understanding for your situation as somebody who has been through something similar.
Yeah.
So it's really important to kind of find your people, find your circle. Yes, go no contact. Yes, distract yourself sometimes. Yes, allow yourself to heal other times and have better boundaries. Give yourself some compassion. But I do think that one of the things that helps a lot of people is to surround yourself. It's the people that you surround yourself with yeah. at the end of the day. And you kind of need to fill that void in a healthier way. Definitely. And that helps.
Kelly, it's been an absolute pleasure for the last 20 minutes. Unbelievable. I'm so curious on this topic myself, as a fellow who's 30 as well, because I'm recently single in the last 12 months. And I like you say, working on yourself makes such a difference going forward.
Such a difference.
So that's another top line for there. So if people want to find you, Kelly, see what you do, see your content, maybe sign up for one of your courses or classes, where can they do mm-hmm. that?
My main page is my Instagram, so it's at Kelly's Coaching. Kelly is with a Y, coaching is with a K. And you can also find my podcast on all platforms, and it's called The Breakup Debrief.
Kelly Gormila Maggot, thank you so much for joining us. It's been unbelievable.
Thank you for having me. I've loved it.
This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,